Job description. Marahil familiar po ang lahat sa atin sa salitang ito. Job description. Dahil I think na-encounter na natin ito sa panahon na naghahanap tayo ng trabaho, o di kaya nakatanggap tayo ng trabaho. Job description by itself tells us na kung ano yung nature ng work ang ating gagawin. It tells us yung qualification that is needed and responsibilities in order to fulfill the task. Yung passage po natin sa umagang ito, which will focus on 1 Timothy chapter 3, tells us the description ng isang pastor at ang qualities that the scripture requires para sa isang pastor. In early church, meron pong dalawang office ng New Testament recognized. These offices were formed by God through the apostles to help ang growing needs ng church in her spiritual and practical needs. At ito po ang office ng elders or pastors at deacons, which is yung deacons will be preached by Pastor Eric next Sunday. So if you're available, please come and join us sa gathering na yan. Yung book po na ating pag-aaralan ay sinulat po ni Apostle Paul, yung 1 Timothy na to, sa isang pastor who is facing a lot of challenges sa loob ng kanyang iglesia dahil sa presensya po ng mga false teachers and their false teachings. Paul instructs si Timothy to stop them and to organize yung iglesia, to organize their worship, to organize yung to make clear yung role ng men and women sa loob ng iglesia, and appoint qualified leaders. No, bakit po ginawa ito ni Paul? Paul gives us yung reason niya, which is makikita natin in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. Nung sinabi niya, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. Mga kaibigan, naiintindihan po ni Paul ang importansya ng iglesia as the chief instrument for both bringing the gospel to the nations and a great host of redeemed humanity sa Panginoon. This is the purpose why God purchased yung iglesia through Christ's peeled the redeeming work sa cross. Because we function and work to advance and support the gospel. So if the church is viewed by God with utmost importance, we too should give a careful attention as well as importance din yung qualification na ibinigay niya para sa mga maglilingkod sa kanyang iglesia. Usong marahil, naiisip ninyo ngayon na yung message na ito ay hindi para sa inyo. But let me address po by saying this. Una, if you are a member of this church, one of your tasks is to lovingly examine, to affirm, and vote if yung elder or yung elder candidate that will be presented to you by the elders ay naaayon ba ang buhay niya sa qualification na makikita natin sa ating passage. Second, given po na transient po tayo dito, hindi po tayo tatagal dito, hindi po tayo tatanda dito, as we move from this place to another, these qualifications is still valid. And I hope that we would exercise the same prudence sa pagpili po ng elders. Thirdly, this is for all of us. This is for all of us who profess that Christ is our Lord and Savior. These qualities po are the same qualities that are expected to Christ's redeemed people. So para din po ito sa ating lahat. Kasi God is expecting us to grow in these characteristics. So our main point po sa umagang ito is this. A godly and qualified elder exhibits a noble desire to serve and a noble character. A godly and qualified elder exhibits a noble desire to serve and a noble character. So I have divided po yung passage natin into two parts. Yung first point po, a noble desire to serve, which is makikita po natin in verse 1. And the second point is a noble character, which will cover most bulk po ng ating passage from verses 2 to 7. So let's go to our first point, a noble desire to serve. Sabi dito sa verse 1, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspired to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. To be a pastor during sa time po ni Timothy, doon sa may Ephesus, is very difficult. Yung church po sa panahon na yon is very problematic. The testimony of the church and her ecclesiastical leadership has been corroded dahil sa presensya ng mga false teachers and false teachings. This is exactly ang warning ni Paul sa kanila. Few years back, nung binisita sila ni Paul sa Ephesus, na makikita natin sa Acts 20, verse 29. Yung sabi doon, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. But it seems like makikita natin ngayon sa passage natin that the members and some elders of the church turned deaf sa warning na ibinigay na ito ni Paul. He allowed false teachers to arise from among them. At ang ilan pong mga problema, I'm going to read yung passage po ng 1 Timothy and even jump to 2 Timothy, makikita natin na yung mga false teachers and even yung mga members throw false accusation to faithful elders in their congregation. Makikita po natin yan in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Some elders was hasty in appointing unqualified elders on their ranks. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. And members approved and affirmed this. Makikita natin yan in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3b. Yung sinabi doon that they accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion. Ito mga kaibigan, ang problema po na ito is not only true sa panahon ni na Timothy. Ngunit, totoo din po ito sa atin ngayon. No wonder why people from inside and outside po sa ating iglesia have low view para sa office ng isang pastor. Many people have been hurt, taken advantage, and manipulated by wicked pastors. Others have witnessed many pastors fall into disgrace and the seriousness of their sin brought profane to the name of Christ and to His church. Ngunit inais ni Paul that instead for the church to shrink back, instead of shrinking back to the office, instead of the church to stop in raising and training godly, qualified men to the service, the right response na naninanais ni Paul is for the church to continue raising godly, qualified elders to the work of ministry, who will dedicate their lives to feed the flock with God's word. And Paul begins by saying it, this is a trustworthy saying. This is a trustworthy saying. Meaning as Timothy raised up men for the work, Timothy should remember yung mga list na ibinigay dito ni Paul sa kanya. Dahil it would guide him in placing qualified men sa office. And church, yung mga qualifications mo na makikita natin dito are not only applicable sa church sa Ephesus, but also dito din po sa atin, sa Crossroads. And if we are to train and raise more men to serve as an elder pastor, then we have to base our qualifications in this list that prioritizes godly characters. Now, sabi dito ni Paul, if anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, he desires a noble task. To aspire means to stretch forth or to reach after. This is not only yung outward po na action, but it involves yung inward strong desire ng isang tao to do the work of an elder or yung pagpapastor. At ang strong desire na ito, it causes him to be eager to learn, to study, and to observe kung anong itsura at trabaho ng isang pastor. Importante po ito dahil ang trabaho po na ito is not something to be forced sa isang tao, kundi dahil sa gusto niya. And as he continue to study and learn the work, God is placing him a burden in his heart to see the need and to aspire more sa trabaho ng isang elder, isang pastor. Sa New Testament po, ang salitang overseer, elder, or pastor shepherd ay ginagamit po interchangeably. These terms are different terms but refer to one thing. But at the same time, they show different aspects po sa trabaho ng isang pastor. At dito po sa Crossroads, we usually use yung term na elder or pastor if we introduce po yung aming mga sarili. So, tingnan po natin quickly kung paano po nagfa-function yung mga words ito. Ang salitang elder literally means elder o matanda. or one who is advanced in age and one who is viewed with respect and dignity. So alam po natin ito, familiar po tayo mga Pilipino dito kasi we have a rich tradition in honoring ang mga matatanda sa community. Ngunit, hindi po nangangahulugan ang isang elder or pastor ay matanda. Okay? Sa halip, this term implies maturity sa kanyang doctrine at sa kanyang conduct. So which is yung dalawang aspect na po na ito is very important po sa role o sa ng isang elder. The next word is overseer or bishop. It implies spiritual oversight or overseeing yung affairs ng isang iglesia. Halimbawa po dito sa atin dito sa Crossroads, yung mga equipping class na nai-enjoy po natin. It is in oversight po yan or elder-led po na ministry yan, which is naka-assign yan sa isa sa mga pastor natin, sa kay Pastor John. Siya po nag-oversee, nagbibigay po ng pag-aaral kung ano pag-aaralan natin. Music, which is under sa kay Pastor Jovan. Kids, under din sa kay Pastor John. Outreach, na sa kay Pastor Eric. So, marami pa po tayong mga ministries dito and mostly under po sa ating senior pastor. While ang salita namang shepherd dito, kung saan nanggaling ang salitang pastor, implies na ang work nito, ang work ng isang pastor involves feeding, protecting, and caring for the flock. The same word po na ginamit ni Jesus para sa kanyang sarili at the same time, ginamit niya nung kausap niya si Peter to tend his sheep. Makikita natin yan in John 21 verse 16. Nung sinabi niya kay Peter, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. So yung salitang tend dito means to pastor, to feed, and to care for the flock of God. But beyond commending ang aspiration ng isang tao para sa office, yung ginawa ni Paul, he puts emphasis sa trabaho ng isang pastor or to the office itself. Paul described this as a noble task, which literally means a good work. Pero bakit? Why Paul reserved high praise sa role ng isang overseer? I think this is because how precious yung local church po para sa Diyos. Notice kung paano ginamit o how Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 to 28 and how he described yung inseparable work ni Christ sa iglesia and how he commanded po yung mga elders to take care na iglesia ng Panginoon. In Acts 20:28, sabi niya, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. Friends, church is so precious po para sa ating Panginoon that Christ, the Son, died to obtain it. We as God's people are bought by with price. Christ so loved the world that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 26, sabi niya that He gave Himself up for her. We have been redeemed with a high cost. The church is precious to the Lord and it is at the center of His purposes para sa mundong ito. So friends, men who aspire to shepherd God's flock and to tend and to protect Christ's church, place themselves in line with God's desire for His people. They desire a good and noble task. Makikita po natin, Paul also views yung pastors or overseers as God's gift for the church. Makikita natin yan in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ang sabi niya that He gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, and teachers, or shepherd teachers. For what purpose? Nakikita natin yan in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, which is yung kasunod lang yan. Sabi doon that to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body. Friends, this means na yung primary duty po ng isang pastor is a duty for God. Yan po yung primary duty ng isang pastor. We work for God and not for people. We
please, we aim to please God, we aim to worship God, and not to worship people. And these are important, dahil kung isang pastor find ultimate, when he finds his ultimate joy and satisfaction sa Diyos, he will have yung kanyang desire would be aligned sa Panginoon in serving yung kanyang iglesia, and he would not serve under his own desire and under his own will, but according to God's plan for his own church. Friends, this is a beautiful task, a beautiful work, dahil if you aspire to do this work, you will witness firsthand kung paano gumalaw ang Diyos sa buhay ng mga tao na ipinagkatiwala niya sa inyo. To have the privilege in pointing those who are hopeless to Jesus. To give life by pointing them to the life giver. To help those who are struggling with addictive, sinful patterns to mortify or to kill sin. To call sinners into repentance and faith in Jesus. To lovingly correct sin, to help God's sheep to endure in faith. And to experience, along with the members, the joy and pains of ministry. Man, this is a noble task dahil God is graciously allowing us to participate in His work of sanctification sa buhay ng kanyang iglesia. That is through teaching, through discipleship, through preaching the Word of God in order to present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle. So friends, if you aspire for the work of a pastor or an elder, you are indeed aspiring a noble task. So how can we apply this sa atin bilang isang iglesia? Well, una, men, aspire. Desire. Desire to serve. Well, share it to us, share it to the elders, or even to the congregation. Well, I know po na tayo po, mga Pilipino, ay medyo mahiyain. But let others know about your aspiration. And ask them kung ano ang mga areas na makikita nila na pwede pa tayong dumago. Aspire. Aspire not only the office, but the work of an elder. Which is ito po yung hindi nakikita ng mga false teachers. Friends, there is much joy and lasting joy, eternal joy, in serving God than the temporary and sinful glory that we get from desiring the office only. Therefore, aspire to serve. We need more men sa trabaho ito. Church, what should be our response? Encourage. Encourage our godly men to aspire. If they do, encourage them more. Help them to lovingly point them sa areas you observe na kailangan pa nilang mag-grow and affirm those areas that they are growing. Bilang isang iglesia, we should be happy if someone aspire to do the work of ministry. Church, aspire as well to grow in our desire to do the work of ministries dito sa iglesia. Bilang isang iglesia, we need to be aspiring to do these things. We have a lot of ministries dito that you can serve yung ating Diyos at ang bawat isa. Now, I know po na hindi po lahat ng mga nag-a-aspire is qualified sa paglilingkod o pagpapastor. Now, the question is, given that they have the desire and aspiration for the work of ministry, church, how can we know that a person is qualified or fit to the work of an overseer? Sabi natin that a godly qualified or godly and qualified elder has a noble desire to serve, but that desire to serve requires a noble character then, which will show a Christ-like character, which is yung ating magiging second point, a noble character. Again, friends, perhaps you might think na mga list of qualifications na makikita natin dito ay extraordinary. Things na medyo imposible po para sa atin na gawin ito. Ngunit, ang realidad po, yung mga qualities na ito are ordinary qualities para sa isang Kristiyano. These qualities are not just the qualities expected sa mga pastor, except that they are able to teach. But these qualities are expected sa lahat na nagpa-profess that they are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love po yung comment ni D.A. Carson dito, na sinabi niya, the least is remarkable for being unremarkable. The least is remarkable for being unremarkable. For the reason that these are all, again, expected po sa lahat ng mga Kristiyano, at hindi po kasali sa listahan dito na ang isang elder ay dapat mataas yung IQ. Hindi po kasama sa listahan dito na dapat yung isang elder is tall, dark, and handsome, o kahit dark na lang. At hindi din po kasali dito na dapat yung isang elder would have a powerful personality. Hindi po. What God requires from us, from a pastor, from an elder, is faithfulness in His word, both in His life, in His conduct, and in His doctrine. Ito po ang nire-require na Panginoon sa atin. So tingnan po natin ang verse 2. Sabi po niya dito, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Kung makikita po natin, how Paul connects ang verse 1 and verse 2 dito with the conjunction, therefore. Di po ba? Which naturally flows po ang listahan ng qualification and character tsaka yung competency ng isang pastor. At sabi ni Paul, hindi po ito optional. Hindi ito optional. Makikita natin yung sinabi niya, therefore an overseer must be. Which means, these are necessary and observable qualities ng isang nag-aspire or an ongoing reality sa buhay ng isang pastor. Hindi po ibig sabihin that you get the office already, you will cease on doing yung mga characteristic na ito. No. Hindi po. This should be observable reality po, ongoing reality sa buhay ng isang pastor. So, ang first na qualification na ibinigay niya dito is yung above reproach. Above reproach, does that mean ang pastor ay isang anghel o perpekto or sinless perfection? Hindi po. Dahil kung ito po yung pagbabasihan natin, then walang pastor ang magkwa-qualify sa office na ito. O walang tao magkwa-qualify sa office na ito. But what it means that elders should be free from any glaring and obvious sin patterns. A kind of life that no one suspects of wrongdoing or immorality that would bring into question the fitness ng isang pastor sa office. But rather, they must display a Christ-like character as godly men. Ng kanyang buhay, display, and back up ng kanyang tinuturo o pinipreach. Now, yung ibang qualifications mo na makikita natin dito falls under sa broad umbrella po ng above reproach. Which is yung second na qualification na ibinigay niya dito, to be examined if there is a glaring sin, ay yung sinasabi niya na yung sexual purity ng isang tao. Or, yung sinabi niya dito, an overseer must be a husband of one wife. You know, in Greek, ang salitang ito means one woman, man. Now, hindi po sinasabi ni Paul dito na ang lahat ng elders must be married to qualify sa office. Hindi po. Or, yung isang single man is disqualified sa office dahil wala itong asawa. Hindi po. Paul is not requiring that, ngunit nag-a-assume siya na ang lahat ng mga elders would be married. Dahil sa katunayan, kung titingnan po natin, si Paul na nagsusulat nito and even si Jesus Christ are single. Hindi po ba? Ngunit hindi din po ito nangahulugan to have a polygamous relationship, jumping from one relationship to another ay okay lang and still be qualified sa office ng isang pagkapastor. Hindi po, dahil you will obviously violate yung biblical design ng Diyos sa marriage. But beyond that, ang nais na tutukan ni Paul dito ay ang marital fidelity and sexual purity ng isang tao, ng isang pastor. his faithfulness and loyalty to his wife.
Friends, kung meron man pong obvious and quick way for a pastor to disqualify and to discredit him and in the ministry, that is the sin, yung sin po of infidelity and unfaithfulness sa kanyang asawa. But friends, beyond, I want us to look beyond po sa mga bagay na to, and look at and ask yung sarili natin. I want us to look into our personal and private life, especially sa mga kalalakihan. Men, what pornographic material ang inyong kinahuhumalingan ng mga nakaraang linggo o buwan? Ano ang kinabibisihan mo sa iyong phone that leads you to inappropriate lustful desire and action? But you might say, and you might think, ay salamat at hindi ako nag-a-aspire and excuse ako dito. But men, crossroads in general, this very thing is also applicable din po sa ating lahat. Church, sin starts with a tiny desire. And when that desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. And if we will not expose and kill sin, sin will expose and kill us. Friends, marital fidelity is very important po para sa Diyos. Dahil ginamit din niya ito as parallel na picture ng kanyang relasyon para sa kanyang iglesia. May kita po natin yan in Ephesians 5:25. Kung saan dapat i-pattern ng isang lalaki ang kanyang pagmamahal at ang kanyang devotion sa kanyang asawa dito. Sabi doon that, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Married men who aspire to the office, If you neglect this sin, how can we love Christ and his bride, the church, if our hearts wander in sinful thoughts and have a divided devotion para sa kanya? To brothers who are singles, who desires to be an elder, kayo din po mga kapatid, you should aim your life towards holiness sa inyong sexuality and be marked with godliness and self-control. Now, yung next three na qualifications na makikita natin dito sa verse 2, I think ay related po ito sa bawat isa. Ito yung sinasabi niya dito na sober-minded, self-controlled, and respectable. Ang salita ang sober-minded po dito, which literally means not intoxicated with wine. Ngunit yung pagkagamit niya dito metaphorically to mean a vigilant, a watchful, alert, and clear-headed. Si Apostle Peter used yung salitang sober-minded, tsaka yung watchful or alert in 1 Peter 5 verse 8 to describe ang isang shepherd who guards the flock of sheep or against a danger imposed by a prowling o yung nag-aaligid na leon. Sabi niya in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Well, importante po ito, nakatangian ng isang pastor, dahil isa sa mga ginagawa nito is to protect the flock from any threat that would put his member lured by false doctrine and schemes ng kaaway. Ngunit ang isang pastor should not only be alert sa outside threat, ngunit he should be also alert in guarding his own life and be marked with self-control. This is yung kasunod po na quality. This means ang isang elder has a full control sa kanyang sarili. Hindi ito madaling madala sa bugso ng kanyang damdamin, but he displays a life that is marked and controlled by the Holy Spirit. May kita po natin in Galatians, which is Galatians 5:23, that yung person po that is filled with the Holy Spirit displays a self-controlled life or have a self-control. So,
A man who is known to his outward aptness in protecting others from any perceived danger of doctrine and heresy, and one who shows self-control is often perceived as respectable man. Hindi po ba? Ang mamang ito knows how to behave in a well-mannered and respectable way, in harmony sa kanyang Christian values at sa kanyang teaching. Meaning, hindi po itong pagpapakitang tao lamang, but his life and actions are guided by his faith and beliefs. Sabi nga ni Jeremy Rainey sa kanyang aklat na Church Elders, sabi niya, a spirit-filled man is a self-controlled man. A spirit-filled man is a self-controlled man. And I think yung tatlong ito, yung bagay na umahawak dito sa kanya tatlo, pulls them together, is yung spirit, is yung self-controlled. And therefore, since these three qualities talk about self-control, I think it's appropriate na tingnan po natin muna yung verse 3. And we'll circle back namaya sa verse 2. Notice yung sinabi niya dito sa verse 3. Makita natin dito that Paul shifts from describing what an elder should be marked by positive qualities to what we shouldn't be marked by negativity. At lahat ng qualities na makikita natin dito sa verse 3, that elder should not be marked by, has something to do with self-control. Sabi niya dito sa verse 3, he ought not to be a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. In Roman culture po, pag kumakain po sila, kasabay na po dito, pag kumakain sila every meal, kasabay na po dito, natural sa kanila yung wine. Kasama po yung wine po sa pagkain nila. So yung picture dito na nakikita ni Paul, a drunkard, this man who is known for his strong appetite for alcohol. But Paul is telling us that instead for man to be controlled by alcohol or any addictive substance, kasama po dito yung ibang mga bagay that would make us high, but an elder po, or an elder-like, should restrain from this. Dahil isa po sa trabaho ng elder includes making important decisions sa loob ng iglesia. And if an elder mind is clouded with wine or any addictive substance, how can you trust na yung elder na to would make a sound decision para sa health ng isang iglesia? But instead, an elder must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Another thing na sinasabi dito ni Paul, an elder is not a violent but gentle. Hindi ito bullying. Hindi physically or emotionally abusive sa kanyang asawa or members ng kanyang iglesia. But rather, he should be pictured as yung opposite po nito, which is yung gentleness. Be marked with gentleness, with meekness in leading and teaching the flock of God. Closely related to this ay ang salitang quarrelsome. Kung saan nangangulugan po ito na hindi combative ang isang elder. Kung may mga members na would not agree in some ideas or treasury na in the doctrines namin, that we would go after and use our office for argument. Hindi po. Hindi rin po ito nangangulugan na ang isang elder is argumentative sa isang elder during sa elders meeting, which is hindi po ito nangyayari during sa aming elders meeting. Alright? But gentle in hearing one another in order for us to come into one unified decision. So another thing sa list mo na makikita natin dito, isang elder not ought to be marked by love of money. In chapter 6, mababasa natin that Paul addressed itong problema na ito sa mga false teachers. These false teachers seek the position of an elder for the sake of money. Now, hindi lang po ito problema sa panahon ni Timothy. Ngunit, mga kaibigan, yung problema na po na ito is totoo din po sa panahon natin. There are churches and pastors who preach prosperity gospel. Now, kung magbibigay ka, tenfolds ay babalik sa'yo. Yayaman ka. Kailangan mo mag-perform into ministry in order to please God para lang bumalik may maraming bumalik sa iyo. Friends, if money dominates the elder's heart, he will not have a healthy perspective sa ministry. That instead of using yung church funds in advancing the work of the kingdom, ministries, he would be tempted to hoard and keep it para sa kanyang sarili. But what Paul desires for an elder dito, that he would not set his heart, that he would have a better perspective about wealth as a means to serve Christ, that instead of treasuring money or wealth, he will treasure Christ. Because he understands that his ultimate joy and treasure is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice how this treasuring Christ fits a character ng isang pastor and quality na iniwan natin in verse 2, which is yung sinabi niya doon na an elder should be hospitable. Hospitable. This elder opens his home to welcome members and new members sa bahay nito, to know them and for discipleship. He is a man that is not distant sa kanyang mga miyembro, but he is with them, able to do a life-to-life na ministry and discipleship, letting members see and observe kung ano, paano siya nag-ooperate sa loob ng bahay, sa kanyang tahanan. Not for the show, but for modeling what godly elder look like. So ang karakter po na being hospitable or hospitality ay nagpapakita din po ng kindness ng isang elder sa isang or compassion and care for the needy. So being hospitable po is not only required sa isang elder or sa isang aspiring na elder, but also sa ating lahat. This might be normal po sa mga kababaihan natin, that they are welcoming, that they love to talk. But church, we can practice this also by welcoming our visitors and those who are new to our gathering. We can do this by asking them how we can serve and pray for you. This is one way that we can exercise ito sa loob ng isang iglesia. Another qualifications po na makikita natin dito that is expected sa isang pastor. Expected lamang sa isang pastor is yung salitang able to teach. Ito ay nangangulugan na isang pastor, alam niya gamitin ang kanyang Biblia. Alam po niya gamitin at i-explain ng tama ang salita ng Diyos. Teaching the Bible is central sa buhay ng isang elder and sa kanyang shepherding work. Now, if an elder is not a student of the Bible, then wala din po siyang matuturo sa kanyang flock. Wala po siyang matuturo sa kanyang congregation. He would also fail to defend his flock from any forms of danger and heresy from false teachers, which is nangyayari po sa context ng aklat na ating pinag-aaralan. O marahil, hindi lang from outside threats, from false teachers, so marahil, dahil sa kanya mismong heretic teaching. While failing to study God's Word and hearing some ideas from outside, getting it and feeding it sa kanya flock. Kaya we always say sa congregation, dito sa harapan, that if there is anything heretic or maling mga katuruan na tinuturo namin dito sa harapan, call us out in a loving way. Call us out. That is your duty towards us as you keep us accountable sa aming mga tinuturo dito. Able to teach means faithful teaching. Teaching God's Word with clarity, giving and guiding the people how to apply ang passage na tinuturo namin dito sa harapan. It's calling people into repentance and faith, in obedience and love, in perseverance and in endurance in faith. And in order to do this, it requires from the part of an elder to devote yung kanyang time sa pag-aral ng salita ng Panginoon. We need to study. It's a labor, it's a work that we need to do so that we would give the flock the word of God and not our own agenda. Kaya nga, sabi ni Paul sa kay Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, sabi niya sa batang pastor na to, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Same thing yung ginamit niya when he asked Titus to appoint elders sa iglesia. In Titus 1 verse 9, ito yung requirement sa isang elder. He must hold firm to the trustworthy or to trustworthy word as taught, so that, ito yung purpose, he may be able to give instructions, that is, feeding the flock in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke who contradict it. So feed and protect. So to our men, mga kalalakihan dito sa loob ng iglesia, who aspires, learn to devote much of your time in reading and filling your hearts with God's Word. Teaching po is very crucial part na trabaho ng isang pastor. And you can start to faithfully doing that sa inyong mga communities, sa inyong pamilya. Shepherd and fed them well. Now in verses 4 and 5, nakikita natin dito, that Paul tells us that an elder is not only characterized by his ability to teach the word, but also a person who is able to lead and manage his own family. Sabi dito sa may verses 4 and 5, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Friends, home is the proving ground for a man to see if he is qualified sa office. If he knows how to manage his own household in a way that his children and members of his household respond to his leadership with respect and joyful submission, great chances are this man is the right man for the work. A man must show that he is a shepherd first sa kanyang pamilya before he would be affirmed as a shepherd sa loob ng iglesia. Hindi na po natin kailangan na hulaan kung kaya ba ng isang tao o kaya ba ng mamang ito, dahil binigyan na po tayo ng measuring stick ni Paul to measure this. This is a lesser and greater argument na binibigay sa atin ni Paul dito. Nga kung if hindi niya kayang pangunahan o pamahalaan ang kanyang sariling pamilya, then how would he manage ang mas malaking pamilya ng Diyos? Who have a diverse attitude, diverse characteristics, and diverse needs. Bilang isang iglesia, what we don't want to see sa ating mga pastor and even members who doing the work of the ministry ay maging busy tayo, maging busy sila sa ministry, but they fail to care for their spiritual and physical needs ng kanilang mga anak at pamilya. Hindi po natin gustong mangyari iyon. But what we want to see is a loving father who loves and disciplines and manages his own household well. So para po sa ating mga tatay, para po in general po sa ating mga parents dito sa loob ng iglesia. Parents, God has placed you in a wonderful position to raise up a next generation of worshipers. Perhaps next generations of pastors. Next generations of missionaries. Ministry workers. So I urge you to lead and manage your household well by leading them sa inyong family worship, in prayer, in reading the Bible, and in singing song of hymns and spiritual psalms. That is your task.
Men, start with this. Grow in your leadership sa loob ng pamamahay ninyo. Love your kids well. Because by doing this, somehow you are already doing the work of a pastor. You are pastoring them. You are eldering them. You are feeding them with the Word of God. And of course, mga kababaihan, you need to support ang inyong asawa kung may asawa po kayo. Verse 6, sabi po niya dito, he must not a recent convert or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of a devil. This is the next qualification na ibinigay ni Paul para sa isang elder or nag-aaspire na mag-elder. The church must be sure na hindi po ito recent convert. He is not a recent convert. Paul warns us to slow down in putting newly converted Christians. Not because we don't love them, not because we don't like them to see in the future leading the church, no. But for prudence and wisdom. Iba pong karakteristik po ng isang bagong converted na Christian, ay they are very enthusiastic, full of energy sa paggawa ng ministry. And we love that. But Paul wants us to slow down in appointing them kahit na may nakikita po tayong mga skills and potentials or qualities na elder-like po sa kanila. Because they are not yet well-tested. They are not yet well-tested ng trials ng buhay. And they have don't have much knowledge sa karanasan or idea ng office ng isang pastor o isang pagpapastor. And perhaps when we place them sa leadership, ang warning po ni Paul dito that they may be puffed up. That their heads will be filled with pride and use the office for their own personal advantage and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Si Bobby Jameson sa kanyang aklat na pastoring, sabi niya, a man should endure a few spiritual winters before being promoted to a pastor. Marahil sa context po natin, a man should endure a few more summers of Dubai before being promoted to pastor. Church, ang dapat po natingnan natin kaya ang mga men who have a proven track record sa kanilang leadership sa pamilya, sa kanilang mga communities, that they have a spiritual discipleship na nangyayari sa buhay nila. They are teaching and other necessary ministries and trainings para sa office na ito. Ito po yung dapat na tingnan natin. And this is interesting po kung ilalagay natin sa office ay yung mga proven brothers. This is interesting thing to know, mga kapatid, dahil if we will put a proven brother to the office of an overseer or a pastor, yung gagawin po ng mamang ito is he will just continue sa kanyang ginagawa of pastoring because he is doing it already. He's exercising it already sa kanyang buhay. And yung mangyayari is he will be given a slight responsibility to pastor 170 members ng Crossroads. That's very slight. So instead of being hasty, yung sabi ni Paul dito, instead of being hasty, tayo bilang isang iglesia to appoint them, tulad ng mga inagawa ng mga false teachers or mga efficient elders dito sa aklat na inaaral natin, ang tamang gawin po natin as a church is to let this brother grow first in these qualities listed here. And after many years that he has proven growth, then maybe, God willing, he will be appointed as an elder. And part po of observing this brother o ang kanyang buhay, o ang buhay ng isang pastor ay hindi lamang sa loob ng iglesia, but also how outsiders view him. Paano siya nakikita ng mga nasa labas? Ito yung sinasabi ni Paul in verse 7. Sabi niya, moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Sometimes, men, we give a little thought how we live yung buhay natin sa labas ng building nito, sa labas ng gathering nito. But for God and for Paul, this is an important area sa buhay ng isang pastor at sa buhay ng isang nag-a-aspire. As ministers of the gospel, we are called to send the gospel kung saan man tayo mapunta. Our life is in fact should be a tangible image of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the communities kung saan tayo involved. Ang focus ni Paul dito ay kung paano tayo mamuhay sa community that God has placed us. Bilang elder, hindi po dapat na parang na namumuhay tayo na parang having two sides or masquerading. Now when we go to church, we would look pious and religious sa loob ng iglesia. But we are on an outside, we live an opposite life. And this should be generally true din po. This should not be generally true din po sa bawat isa sa atin. Na kung nasa loob tayo ng iglesia, we would look religious and pious. We should not look like a wonderful building that has a wonderful facade, but inside, from outside, but rotten po inside. Friends, men, aspiring pastors, with the people of our community, in sa workplace ba natin, social influences, be surprised if we tell them that you are a leader, that you are a Christian, that you are a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, kung sasabihin natin sa kanila ito. What do you think would be their reaction? In application po, men, may these qualities be not just a checklist po para sa atin, just because of our aspiration to the office. But instead, may we, una bilang mga Kristiyano, that has been bought by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, grow in these qualities as we respond to God's work in our life, in shaping us sa pamamagitan ng kanyang salita. O church, I pray the same, that these qualities become a reality din po sa ating lahat. Hindi lang po dahil we are in the lookout kung sino po yung pwede, or we are expecting this sa mga kalalakihan natin. Sa halip, bilang isang iglesia, pagsikapan natin na sabay-sabay tayong lumago sa mga areas na ito. Thus, we depend sa Diyos who grows and sanctifies us. O church, pray. Pray for us, elders, that we would humbly walk according sa salita ng Diyos. That His Word would continue to shape our hearts and our lives to continue to live according sa qualities na ito. And also, that these qualities would also be visible sa mga kalalakihan natin dito sa loob ng iglesia. O church, left on our own, who would be qualified sa trabahong ito? Who would have these qualities of a godly, regenerated na tao? Well, the simple answer po is, wala. No one. Dahil alam po natin that left on our own, we will not seek God or seek to grow in these areas. Subalit, ang gagawin po natin ay ang kabaliktaran nito. And therefore, what we deserve ay ang condemnation ng Diyos. What we deserve is death. But praise be to God dahil sa kanyang anak na si Jesus Cristo, who came as a fully God and fully man to live these qualities perfectly on our behalf. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down His life for us on the tree. And on the tree, Jesus took our sins on His body, died the death that we deserve. He was buried, but on the third day,
He was raised from the dead or from the grave as a sign that God has accepted His work on our behalf. Jesus was ascended back to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us as our good and faithful shepherd. Friends, if you are not yet in Christ, I urge you, God is inviting you to be part of His flock. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Repent and receive Jesus as your Savior. A godly, qualified, and qualified elder exhibits a noble desire to serve and a noble character. Manalangin po tayo. Father, who is capable of doing this all, Lord, you know that we are weak and we are frail. So we ask you, Lord, to strengthen us. Help us to depend in Christ alone, who is our great shepherd. Strengthen us, elders of this congregation, that we may fulfill our task with fear and trembling. Help this congregation also, Lord, to grow in these areas, that we may honor you in the manner that we live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.